What's up, music entrepreneurs?
What is up, guys?
What's up, Ray Dog?
What's up,
Ray? Hopefully, y'all are doing good.
We're doing good, Ray? Yes.
Your lighting looks great.
Thanks. It does look good. A little bit of color.
All right, y'all.
A little color.
In this episode of the Forward Producer podcast, we are going to be continuing on to part 3. Stage to bank maximizing profits for live performances. If you're looking to make a lot of money and be able to do it and do it with excellence and not have to work and spin your wheels and guess and do a bunch of stuff, this podcast is for you. We're going to try to uncover as much as we can to help you all.
Absolutely.
Rock it out.
Rock and roll.
Hey. But hopefully y'all are doing good. We're doing good.
Let us know in the comments.
He's doing good. Yeah, let
I'm
us know.
Doing good.
Drop some fire emojis.
Fire. That's it.
Hey, but before we jump in, make sure you like and subscribe, do all that good stuff to make sure that this podcast just doesn't go swept under the rug. If you think helps you, that'll mean a lot to like it. Like, share, subscribe, rate anywhere you're consuming it. It'll help us a whole lot. So I'm Rome. This is Ray.
Hey, hey.
If you're first time tuning in, we've been in the music industry for a long time. I think I'm going on 20 years and Ray's probably like more.
Yeah, 25-ish.
But we've learned a lot. We made a lot of mistakes, and we're here to try to help you all not make those same mistakes and make some money.
There you go.
But also, before we jump in, make sure you go to forwardproducer.com/ISP.
That's right. And we got a free gift for you.
Yeah, tell them about it, Ray.
ISP, that is Industry Standard Productions. Honestly, Rome did a comprehensive soup to nuts, as they say, everything from recording to mixing, engineering. He did a really comprehensive, just how to take your productions to the next level and make it sound like that industry standard should be. And it's actually helped a lot of people. It's free to use. So I would say jump on it. As soon as you can.
And we also have a free webinar teaching.
Yes.
If y'all look hard enough, you're going to be able to find it, but it's the 4 secrets to becoming a 6-figure music entrepreneur.
Boom.
If you can't find it, let us know. Drop a comment. We'll send you the link.
That's right.
Boom.
In fact, we ought to just put the link, even if you don't comment.
We'll drop it. We'll put the link somewhere so you can check it out.
That's right.
It's our next level of giving you all value for completely free. So go check it out.
Exactly.
Today we have industry news by Ray Dog. What's up, guys, with industry news, Ray?
Let's talk about the Diddy. P. Diddy.
Let's talk about the Diddy.
He's been all over the news. I think he is in trouble. But the part that I just wanted to talk about is that, listen, we understand, we know that this industry, entertainment, it can be shady from the jump, right? Because it's all, in many, many respects, there's no industry standards. There's no, legally, there's no precedent for a lot of this stuff because it can be so ethereal, right? So you just really need to make sure, even if someone's a celebrity that you're working with, that you're doing it the right way, that you have a good group of people around you, that you are, with you, your team, your family, that you're being grounded. And listen, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. So just, man, just do your best to just shake out things before you do them. Really get a great attorney. And just all those things to really help you navigate the world that is the entertainment, because it can be sketchy. I've gotten really saved out a couple of really bad deals that I was in. It wasn't as seedy as the stuff that P. Diddy's, it seems like he's been into, but I've had great attorneys. I've had great friends that knew the business that I listened to, and I've been actually blessed to be covered in many ways. So I just want to encourage you guys with that. If you're seeing all the stories about P. Diddy, he did those things allegedly. We legally have to say that. But at the same time, where there's smoke, there's fire. So something's going on. So protect yourself. Keep yourself covered. Keep yourself humble. You know, listen to your friends. Listen to the people around you. So,
yeah, I think the music industry is a dog-eat-dog world, right?
Dab, no question.
A lot of people out there just try to get the best for themselves and say, screw everyone else. So,
right, be careful. Exactly. Be careful.
You may be talented. You may come across some people that are looking like they're there to be nice and help you, and you may end up in a bad situation, just like what Ray was talking about. So,
right.
I can think I'm probably like off the top of my head, a handful of people that I'm friends with, been friends with, and they did similar situations like, oh, I got a deal. Like, oh,
right.
Cool.
But that cost
come
you
to find out they're locked in. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
So be careful. The industry is crazy, but it's worth it.
And that's why you need people like us, right? You know, boom, hang out with Ray and Rome and kind of, you know, be a part of what we're doing. So
come hang out. We're here to help.
That's right.
And we're not trying to be sticky.
No.
So let's jump into the main talk.
Do it.
So we're talking about From Stage to Bank, maximizing profits from live performances. This is part 3. So if you want to check out the other ones, maybe this is the first one you're jumping in on. Go check out the other ones. But the first point for today is optimizing set lists.
Boom.
What do you think about that, Ray?
Man, that's really good. Thinking through your set list, like how, because, all right, so how I think through set lists many times is on an emotional scale, right? So I go, you know, the first 2 or 3 songs need to be jumping out the gate, hype, boom, 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 boom. Then bring it down, like it's a story that you're telling with your set list, right? So you want to kind of come ebb and flow and surprises and all that kind of thing. It's really a flow, and not an emotional roller coaster per se, but an emotional story adventure that you're telling. That's right, an adventure with your set list. So be adventurous with your set. Oh, and then also the other thing that kind of comes to mind is arrangements too. Like, don't feel like you have to do the exact arrangement that's on the record. If you want to pull certain things out emotionally, it might be good that you rearrange it and have a live arrangement of your set list.
Yep. I agree with all of that. I'm also thinking, too, like along the lines of deciding your set list. Spotify is going to tell you what your top songs are.
True.
It'll even tell you where they're performing, where your audience is.
Yep.
So you could go in there and just pick the top hits, and maybe you got some new stuff. You know, maybe you got some oldies, depending how long you've been doing it. So I think that would be beneficial to look in that, just like what Ray's talking about too. You know, mix it up a little bit. Doesn't have to be exactly the same, but you know, there's tools you can access to make sure it's the best it can be.
Dude, that the geo targeting thing on Spotify, that's really cool. And because it's not albums per se, it's all tracked with the tracks. All the tracking is based off of actual spins of each individual song. And if you can get the geo targeting data, that can actually really help you put your set list together. Because you know, in this town, this song is hot. But in this other town, this other song is hot. So you, you might want to start with that. So that's actually a great idea.
Yep.
Brilliant.
Yes, sir. So optimize them, you know.
Optimize!
Your fans are the lifeblood of this. So if your fans aren't happy because you just picked a set list that you were just tired of doing these other songs that are famous, and you're like, no, I'm going to do new stuff and stuff people don't really like,
right,
you need to reconsider.
There you go. That's it.
So the next one we have is post-performance monetization. And I would even venture to say, as opposed to monetization, is kind of like a follow-up in how you're able to capture your audience and still connect with them on your own level. You want to talk a little bit about it, Ray? And I'll follow up behind you.
Yeah, the post monetization can be as quick as pushing everyone to merch, right? After the show's over, go buy a t-shirt. And maybe there's some special deals that you can do, you know, like buy two, get one free. I mean, I don't know. Just, you know, all sorts of kind of different deals.
Like that's this show only.
Yeah. This show only. You're going to get this, blah, 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 all that kind of. So, the immediate monetization on the show right after is merch for sure. So there's lots of things you can do there. And then also I would say, if figure out how to get people's emails, then you can do that throughout all of the. Well, and listen, I know emails are antiquated, but at the end of the day, as we found, you know, with the political situation that's in America, we found that, you know, you don't own Facebook, you don't own Instagram, you don't own YouTube. They can shut you down for any reason, and then all mm-hmm. your contacts are gone. So that's why I encourage artists to always create an email database, because that is a marketing tool that you own and that you can control mm-hmm. and then you know, that nobody else can. So those are the two things I think when I think of monetization out of the show.
I think along the lines of email as well as text messaging. So you can set up on your website. You may need to have a little bit of developer knowledge, or you could hire someone to do it, but something that's called a CRM, customer relations management. Basically, it's people that come in contact with you, say we want to connect. You could control their, well, not necessarily control, you have access to their information and you're able to utilize that information and access their information to reach out and connect with them. So a big thing is text message. I know now in the US, you have to get verified, like as far as making sure you're not a scam and you're not just bot texting people.
Right.
That's a little bit of a process up front. But if you're able to capture their phone number, you have literally direct access straight to your audience where you can say, hey, I'm doing a pop-up right now in your city, you know what I mean? And come show out. And they're going to be like, it'll be huge. It's crazy.
And text message links, I saw this report the other day, is that they are open, I think, 95% of the time. So, you know, emails might be only 20, 25%, which I still think you need to do. But a text service mm-hmm. could be even, it's better than that because everyone will open up a text.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think text is it's probably the first best. The next best is email.
Uh-huh.
Beyond that, you're looking at stuff like social media where your reach is just kind of gone. And like Ray was saying, you don't own it. So
that's
if
right.
you're able to build that stuff up, like you could build it up on platforms right now. That's pretty straightforward, drag and drop type setup, and just post your website there. And you could create funnels and stuff like that for your audience so that they could opt in to what you're doing. And you could reach them and connect with them.
Right.
So next one we have is leveraging sponsorships and partnerships. This is probably more so a predominant thing now, especially in a influencer world that we're in and more so developing in, I think, because you see people that just go viral on all these social media and then all of a sudden they're like, they do a similar thing. Like I'll take, for instance, a comedian type person. They'll add comedy into a sponsorship where you don't even realize it's a sponsorship. You know, it's just like, oh, it's just like another one of their pieces of content, but they're actually getting paid for promoting this thing, which I think is huge, especially if you're an artist, if you're able to leverage that. That's huge. You want to talk a little bit more about it, Ray?
Yeah. So sponsorships, the big key there, like if you're a small, just starting out artist, I mean, unless you're really good at pitching to the to sponsorships, are really work really well if you already have some type of audience. I'm just going to be real about that. So, because then it's literally a dollars for eyeballs. And as long as that ratio works for whatever sponsorship company that is, they'll give you the money. So, you know, if it's, let's say, Coca-Cola, and you know you're good for 500 seats at a, you know, consistently over the time of a tour, and you can show that and prove that, then they could sponsor your tour. So that's kind of what you want to look out for. Do your best. Listen, I mean, Rome and I have said this a lot on almost everything that we've put out. You're not so much in the music business as much as you are in the brand and audience building business, right? So, and then once you have that audience built up, you can monetize in several different ways, and sponsorships is one of those. That's what I would say there.
Yeah, I think also it says here, we're talking about partnerships as well, because sometimes a sponsorship is kind of just like what Dre's talking about, a money exchange. A partnership can mean maybe an affiliate type thing where if you're able to have sales come through your specific link, you're going to get a kickback as opposed to like, here's a chunk up front and we're expecting like this. You know what I mean?
Like Nord, like NordVPN, like Ace. What's that other one that always is on YouTube? AC1, like the green drink.
All that. Yeah, stuff. There's all sorts. There's all sorts.
But again,
go ahead.
Well, again, I mean that's the numbers and followers. You know, that's kind of a numbers game too. So.
Yeah, thinking off the top of my head, one of the businesses that I work with media stuff, they have an online program, and they've connected with someone, they partnered with someone, and this person is actually directly linked to their demographic, to their audience. Right. So they set up a affiliate link, basically instead of paying full price, they're paying a discounted price, and they are basically automatically, their clients are becoming this company's clients because they set up a partnership that is beneficial for both people, where he's not having to pay full price. At the same time, right. This company is actually getting all these sales in because this guy is working with their exact target audience. So something like that is what you got to think of whenever you are an artist or you're working as a label or as a record producer. Like, if there is an audience out there that is going to be beneficial for some of these companies, mm-hmm. if they don't sponsor, they may look into a partnership, and that could be something you could present as well, saying, you know, hey, I'm willing to sell your product if you give me a link, and they could get discount codes. We see that all the time, you know,
right.
Use my
right.
code, blah, blah, blah. So,
right. Awesome.
Could be huge.
That's right.
The next one we have, which Ray will be going over, is legal and contractual considerations. This is pretty much the foundation, I would say.
Yeah, and it kind of goes back to what we were talking with the P. Diddy situation. Like having a great attorney, putting everything on paper, is nothing but protection for you. So, and it's specifically when it comes to this topic of touring, I would never do a show until you had all the paperwork complete and negotiated by the promoter. Completed with the promoter, that you both agree. So that way, you know how much you're getting paid. You know how much of the merch percent that they're going to take, which they will. You're going to know how much the building itself costs to be there. You're going to know exactly what the promoter spent for the marketing and promotion of the show, all those types of things. It's all in the paperwork. So when it comes to legal things, you know, with this specifically in mind, you definitely need to have paperwork between you and the promoter for sure to protect your interest, and you know exactly what you're going to get.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I know just from touring around and going to places where we thought this was supposed to happen, and come to find out it wasn't that, but it said so in their contract and blah, 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 blah. That's huge, because that saves your tail on a lot. It saves, you know, me and Ray are in a contract for a live performance. He's the venue. I'm the artist. We come in and we say this is going to happen. There's no guesswork. We know what to expect. When nothing is strange is going to pop up and be out of the ordinary, like, oh, we didn't know about that, because we cover it in the contract. We both agreed to it. And that even helps, like, if you think about relationships, you want to build relationships with these places that you're going and touring around and doing live performances with. You don't want them to feel all yucky because you pop something out on them because it wasn't in the contract. You want to make sure all that stuff's there. Build a good relationship because you want to go back.
Yeah, and vice versa too. Because, I mean, truth be told, yeah, you got all the DD stuff that's happening, but the seediest part of the business many times can be touring. Because especially on the lower end, like, you know, mid-level artists to lower end artists, it's a lot of it is cash. So you have to be careful when you're dealing with a cash-based business that everything's above board. And that's where the contracts come in.
Yep, keeping track of it all as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the just to recap the 4 points. We have optimizing set lists. We talked about Spotify showing you what your top stuff is, straightforward for the world to see.
Yeah.
Post-performance monetization. Maybe you have a sale going on, right? This show only, or maybe you're dropping new merch, leveraging sponsorships and partnerships. We just talked about that. You know, there's ways to work with different companies that want to reach your audience. legal and contractual considerations. We're talking about, you know, just covering y'all's tail, set expectations, but there's no guesswork. Right. So I have a story.
Boom.
And I've talked a little bit before about this. So the room I'm in now is actually a building I built in my backyard. So I was in another place that was like 40 minutes from my house doing sessions, doing music there. And originally I lived out there. So like it was really easy to access, maybe like 5-6 minutes away. Now I'm 40 minutes away because I moved into a new house. And then it just didn't make sense for me to have to drive that far to run sessions and blah, blah, blah. So came here, we built this place out in our backyard, got approval by the HOA. Put a cement slab, had someone build a building, got the insulation, got the sheetrock, got the electrical, blah, 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 moved all the stuff in, kind of what you see now behind me. And which actually, this might be a good thing we could talk about later, is this drum set is an acoustic drum set converted to electric because I want to be able to play at night.
How dare you?
We could talk about that maybe the next one. It's awesome. How dare you? Okay. I can go back. Don't worry.
How dare you?
But anyways, so now I've been thinking about, like, it's a smaller space, but it's cool. It works for what I need. I'm not taking huge projects, but I've been thinking, like, it would be cool to just get back to the grind of, like, live performance because so much stuff is just overdubbed and blah, 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 blah. So now the studio is set up to actually do live performances. We're able to have, like, a group of people. Like, this camera here is always set up. I'm going to set up a couple other cameras, but we're able to run keys, bass, drums, singers, guitar all at once with their own monitors. Everything's wired up, ready to roll. So if y'all look around, you may see some stuff dropping. Then you're going to be like, oh, I know where that place is. So the plan is to be to get some stuff in here, get some jam sessions recorded, maybe some cover songs. Just have fun. You know, if music's not fun anymore and it's just business, you're going to get tired of it. So my
that's right.
I think the whole base of the story would be just to try to do stuff that's fun, keep music fun, so you don't get burnt out.
Boom.
Maybe Ray that's will come great. Over and he'll have a jam session with me sometime because he's all the way across town, closer to that other studio.
That's right.
It's a converted electric set, so he may not touch it.
Exactly.
So before we jump off, make sure you go check out forwardproducer.com/ISP. Also, we're going to try to, we'll drop the link to the free webinar down below here as well in the show notes. Check it out. Let us know what you think. And if you could, like, share, subscribe, comment, rate, all that good stuff will mean a lot and it helps us keep this going.
That's right.
Well, that's all from us. Thank you all for tuning in. Peace out.
Peace out.